Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fatima, good evening. Welcome to the programme. We're going to take you through the main news of the day before 5.30. So coming up, how much has been spent on reviews at Manx Care over the past 2 years? Also, what's been happening at Isle of Man Meats? Payments to the board have tripled over the past 3 years. Nursing staff on the island are being urged to take part in a new consultation about their pay. A political commentator reflects on, it's fair to say, a turbulent few days in government. What do teenagers here think about the UK's plans to consult on a potential social media ban? And later, the Isle of Man's air ambulance service is taking delivery of a cutting-edge new piece of equipment. All that, the traffic, the travel, the weather, and if you'd like to get in touch, you can text 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Siobhan Fastamai.
Fastamai, Manx Care. Commissioned reviews and reports costing more than £660,000 over the last two financial years. The figure, revealed in response to a Freedom of Information request from Manx Radio, covers six pieces of work on a range of topics, including a governance review, ambulance demand and adult learning disabilities. The Isle of Man Chamber of Commerce has welcomed the decision to raise the minimum wage for over 18s from April. The 5% rise follows a series of government changes after an earlier proposal for a nearly 10% increase was scaled back. Payments to the Isle of Man Meats Board have more than tripled over the past 3 years. Figures released by DEFA show compensation to non-executive directors rose from £70,000 in 2023 to more than £250,000 in 2025. Nursing staff are being urged to take part in a new consultation about their pay. The Royal College of Nursing is surveying members employed by Manx Care on two pay offers over the next 2 weeks. And the Manx Labour Party has hit back at the Chief Minister after he appeared to attribute his administration's unpopularity to left-wing members and the shrill voices of socialism. Whilst responding to politicians' questions, Alfred Cannon specifically name-dropped Douglas South member Sarah Maltby, the party's chair, due to her reaction to his remarks. She had this message for Mr Cannon.
I don't think he probably appreciated my face, but I didn't really appreciate him calling me out on something which I'm entitled to do. I'm entitled to have a view in here, and if he doesn't like it, then I'm afraid that's not my problem.
Further afield, Donald Trump says he's seeking immediate negotiations over Greenland. The US president's threatened tariffs on European nations who oppose American attempts to acquire the territory from Denmark. He says he plans a so-called Golden Dome to defend Western nations.
It's the United States alone that can protect this giant mass of land, this giant piece of ice, develop it and improve it and make it so that it's good for Europe and safe for Europe and good for us.
Elsewhere, an emotional Prince Harry has told the High Court the press made his wife's life a misery. And Dame Prue Leafs announced she's stepping down as a Great British Bake Off judge, saying in a statement, "I'm 86, for goodness sake." There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Thanks very much indeed, Siobhan. Now, the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So first of all, there is a yellow weather warning for coastal overtopping. This comes into effect at 11:30 tonight until 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. It's the usual places: Douglas Prom, Laxey and Ramsey Proms, parts of Shore Road and Russian, and to a lesser extent Castletown Promenade as well. Overall, cloudy with occasional showery outbreaks of rain at times this evening, strong to near gale force east or southeast winds, and maximum temperatures are around 9. Tomorrow, more rain, fresh to strong southeast winds, top temperatures again around 9. And just looking ahead to Friday, cloudy but often dry, the ongoing risk of a few showery outbreaks of rain, and again strong winds, and guess what the temperature is? Yeah, 9.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
You listen to Update here on Manx Radio. It's coming up to 4.5 minutes past 5. Well, Manx Care has commissioned reviews and reports costing more than £660,000 over the past two financial years. So this figure covers six pieces of work on a range of topics, including a governance review, ambulance demand and also adult learning disabilities. Sean Cowper has the details.
The total of £663,149 published in response to a Freedom of Information request from Manx Radio includes the cost of five reports in the 2024-25 financial period, along with one from the current financial year. Specific totals for each report haven't been included, but the most costly review was carried out by Meridian Productivity for between $250,000 and £500,000. A report into Manx Care waiting list shows the company was commissioned to identify productivity opportunities across outpatient clinics. Cordis Bright's Adult Learning Disabilities Service independent review cost between £50,000 and £100,000. Reviews into governance and also ambulance demand and capacity each cost £20,000 to £50,000, while work by the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health cost between £10,000 and £20,000. The only review commissioned in the current financial year so far was from Housden Group, which looked into the delivery of private patient services. Its findings cost between £10,000 and £20,000. Manx Care says its data excludes reports for capital schemes such as feasibility studies.
That is Sean Cowper reporting. You can find that story online at manxradio.com. So it's just 6 minutes past five. So payments to the board of Isle of Man Meats have more than tripled over the past 3 years. Christian has been looking through the figures. Of course he has. Fastamai, Christian, just tell us first of all, what's come to light here?
Yeah, so this comes from a written reply by the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture to a Timwald question from Onkan MHK Julie Edge, and the figures show payments to non-executive directors rose from just over £70,000 in 2023 to more than £250,000 by 2025.
So that's quite a jump then. What is behind such this sharp increase?
Yeah, so a big factor is a change in how board members are paid. In 2023, it was largely a flat annual fee through payroll, but more recently payments have shifted towards daily rates up to £550 a day for the chair, and also the use of private company invoices.
Okay, let's just unpack that a little bit. What exactly does that mean?
So in 2025 alone, more than £154,000 was paid via invoices to private companies, compared to about £96,000 through payroll. That includes payments to Quantum Connection Limited. That's actually owned by the board's chair, Damien Corcoran, and also Burnie Consultancy. That's run by another board member, Dr. Jonathan Burnie.
How has the department explained this then?
So the Environment Minister, Claire Barber, says a revised board was appointed in 2024 as an emergency step to stabilise the meat plant, and additional payments were authorised during that transition. Those payments, we're told, ended in August last year.
OK, just looking back a little bit, the meat plant faced scrutiny fairly recently, really, over the way it appointed one of its board members.
Yeah, so that was former MHK Bill Shimmons' appointment, which raised a few eyebrows. Julie Edge has raised questions in the House of Keys about transparency, suggesting the public might reasonably think there was a short list of one for some roles.
So what happens next here then?
So DEFA says a full open recruitment process for a longer term board is planned to be carried out in April.
Christian, thank you very much indeed. 8 minutes past five. Nursing staff on the Isle of Man are being urged to take part in a new consultation about their pay. The Royal College of Nursing is surveying members employed by Manx Care on two pay offers over the next fortnight. Siobhan Fletcher has the details.
It's the latest step in ongoing pay negotiations with Manx Care for the 2024-25 and 2025-26 pay rounds. Back in December, Manx Care offered a 1% offer in addition to the 4% already in imposed, bringing the total offer up to 5% for 2024-25, and a 1% offer in addition to the 2% already offered, bringing the total offer up to 3% for 2025-26. Simon Browse, the regional director for the RCN in the Northwest, said, "We urge as many members as possible to have their say, as this is the only way we can express the membership's voice to Manx Care and the Isle of Man government about how valued the nursing workforce are feeling. A fair pay rise would demonstrate that the Manx government are investing in not only the current nursing workforce, but the sustainable future of nursing and safe patient care on the Isle of Man." He added, "We are not recommending how members should vote, but are asking that they do vote. It's up to members whether they think the offer is acceptable or not." A consultative survey opened at 12 noon today and will run until 12 noon on Wednesday, the 4th of February.
Siobhan Fletcher reporting there. You can find the full details again on the Manx Radio website. So the Minister for the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture says it's business as normal despite a recent outbreak of blue tongue in cattle. Yesterday, as we heard, it was confirmed a farmer had reported several abortions in a herd, which is one of the symptoms. Claire Barber has been talking to Phil Gorn.
Everything will continue as it normally does. Because we've set the whole island up as a restriction zone, that means people can move freely within the restriction zone. And the UK CVO, that's the Chief Veterinary Officer, sorry for anyone who's not aware, has said that because England and Wales are also full restriction zones, we can essentially move freely between those nations too. Blue tongue has no impact on the animals entering the meat trade. It can be eaten, it's absolutely fine, fit for human consumption. I think that's really important. We know that England and Wales have set up their whole area as restriction zones. They know they have blue tongue there. We are in a position now when we have an awareness of that. As I say, Jersey are in the same position. Scotland, interestingly, haven't had an outbreak at this point. But, you know, from my perspective, that's a really key message. In terms of the actual animals, previously there had been health indications. We did feel that it was likely, given it spread by midges, that the incidence of it in all of our surrounding nations would put us at risk. Yesterday evening, the vet was notified that tests that we'd taken from a number of cows that had spontaneously aborted, one of the signs that can be happening with the most recent cases of blue tongue, is that the animals appear healthy but have fertility issues. The vet had taken those samples and we were notified that those animals were positive in terms of blue tongue antibodies, meaning they've had it, but they don't necessarily have it right now. So we obviously immediately got in touch with the UK in terms of the exports. We knew that the boat was imminently due to go, but actually positive news was that the UK feeling was we could go ahead with those. We simply had to make it clear that we're no longer a blue tongue free country, which we were fine with. But the biggest issue at present that's being seen is relating to fertility. And of course, that's a significant risk and something that we want to better understand in terms of the detail we'll get back from our surveillance testing, which will tell us which strain it is that's been circulating here.
That's the Environment Minister, Claire Barber. It's 11 and a half minutes past five here on Update. Well, the Enterprise Minister says he is not going anywhere. This was in response to questions that were raised in Timwood yesterday when one member asked why it was only Dr. Alex Allenson who was fired over the minimum wage rise and not Tim Johnston as well. Well, the Heir and Michael MHK, Mr. Johnson, says he has done his job in bringing a number of changes, as well as working on fair wages and ensuring the changes don't damage business.
I absolutely accept that, you know, any changes to the minimum wage cause concerns. Clearly, this policy needed another substantial increase. That is why we made some of the changes to try and delay it, to try and give more clarity. But clearly, a lot of businesses feel that that's not enough, and we accept that. And that is why we've made it very clear. We said it right through the autumn, and obviously with the motion that came forward from Mr. Hooper in December, we are coming back with support. We're very much looking at targeted support, what I can do within DfE, what the Treasury could do to help in that process, because we recognise it is a challenge. But clearly, the level of concern there's been, there's a real feel and need for change. And I think the other key point to remember here is I was very much working on two points here, you know, and it was around very much around the principles of ensuring that we got fair enough wages for those on a lower income, but also balancing that against making sure that we don't damage business. And that's a very difficult balance, and there's always going to be debate on that. And that's where we're moving forward with. I think what's important to stress, and what's been proposed today, and what the Chief Minister has already talked about, and which we'll be looking to bring forward, is a new way which was not brought forward by Treasury, and that was substantial changes to allowances, personal allowances. So that's a new thing on the table. So from my point of view, if we can find a way through that honours the needs to make sure that people do get a fair wage, but also takes pressure off business, and we can achieve that in a different way, then I'm quite happy to do that. This is not a die-in-a-ditch thing, but the point is, and the frustrations were, sometimes these things are presented as a fait accompli by Treasury, and clearly these things were not looked at. So from my point of view as DfE Minister, we are here to support business, and in any way we can, we do support business. You know, we have people sitting on business within our agencies, and we do have existing support schemes in place. We are looking at enhancing those. I've already made that commitment, and we will continue to have those conversations.
And you'll still be a minister by the time the election comes?
Well, I've certainly got no intention of going anywhere. At the end of the day, I'm here at the pleasure of the Chief Minister, and if he wants to make a change, well, that's up to him. But I certainly have got more to do. I've got a great team at the Department for Enterprise, and I'm very keen to stay in position and keep moving things forward and keep delivering on lots of things that the Department is doing.
That's the Enterprise Minister and Air and Michael MHK, Tim Johnston, talking to Phil there. We're going to hear more about what was agreed minimum wage-wise in Tynwald this week in just a moment.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Nothing on the police pages, always good news. The main things, Ballasalla, Orisdale Road is closed for resurfacing work, and there are also temporary lights on the St Mark's Road. That's just north of the Phil Draw Road turn. That's for work on the pavements there. In Colby, still those lights on the main road near the pub for patching works. And in Sulby, until the end of next month, the Clannock Road is closed between Sulby and Sandygate. That is for resurfacing. So looking down at the airport, all pretty good there. There was an earlier Logan Air flight from London City which was cancelled, but everything okay this evening. But unfortunately, again, the steam packet hit by the adverse weather. It's so windy out there. So the Manxman made it to Heysham at lunchtime, but the return sailing has been cancelled, which obviously means the 7:15 has cancelled as well. The next sailing from Heysham to Douglas will be just after 2:45 tomorrow morning.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicles winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
It's coming up to 16 minutes past five. So it's time to reverse the cycle that has left Isle of Man businesses under pressure and the prospect of reduced job opportunities. So that was from the Chief Minister after Tynwald backed his new approach to increasing the minimum wage yesterday evening. So now, instead of the previously approved 9.9% increase to £13.46, minimum wage will now go up to £12.86 in April instead, alongside a rise in personal allowance when we get to the budget, which will be at the next Tynwald sitting. So after those proposals were passed, Alfred Cannon spoke to Phil Gorn.
Everybody agrees we need to improve the lives of people, and controlling and managing wages and ensuring we've got the right wage structures in place is clearly part of that solution. But it has been clear for months now that we could not carry on in the same direction. We've had letters from almost every organisation on the island, representing charities, farmers, businesses, individual representation. I talked today about how I had been in my constituency and in other businesses, talking to the owners and talking to the staff, and the fear that is involved about the pressure that government is applying through the rate that we are bringing forward these living wages rises, and change was needed.
What you're proposing is to increase personal taxation allowances, but that comes at a cost too, doesn't it?
Of course it does, absolutely. You know, we've got a responsibility, we've got a new Treasury Minister. I'm not going to take away his thunder by explaining how one will deal with this, the challenge that we've got. I'm confident that can be done. But this is about the principles today. It is about principles of government sharing responsibility, not just throwing the burden out to business, but our responsibilities as well to make sure that the tax system is encouraging hard work, incentivising productivity, and encouraging people to succeed and delivering the opportunities to do so, rather than shrinking all that, reducing job opportunities, putting more pressure on business owners. We've got to reverse that cycle, and there are ways to do that. Personal allowance is absolutely one lever that we can use to do that.
That is the Chief Minister, Alfred Cannon, talking to Phil there. So in the House of Keys, 18 MHKs voted in favour with 6 against. In LegCo, it was 5-2 in favour. Just so you know, the people in Keys who voted against: Dr Alex Allenson, Dr Michelle Hayward, Laurie Hooper, Sarah Maltby, Joni Farragher and the Speaker, June Watterson. And the two MLCs who voted against were Gary Clewitt and Rob Mercer. Well, the Isle of Man Chamber of Commerce has welcomed the decision to raise the minimum wage for over 18s from £11.45 to £12.86. It says the revised figure is sustainable for employers while still delivering a meaningful uplift for workers. It also welcomes plans to raise personal tax allowances in next month's budget, saying this would help put more money in employees' pockets. We are going to be talking to the Chamber of Commerce tomorrow. 19 minutes exactly past five. Well, a political commentator on the island has described the current government as the most chaotic he's ever known. So Alistair Ramsey is a former government press officer, and he believes the past couple of days has has highlighted weaknesses in the island's political system. He's had over 45 years' experience in Manx politics and describes Dr. Allinson and Dr. Hayward as progressive and uncompromising politicians who he believes have paid the price for upsetting powerful interest groups in a general election year.
So we've had the bizarre spectacle of the chief minister riding to rescue the public from his own government. And that positions himself and his occasional allies very well for the next general election and beyond. I think the most puzzling thing for me is the position of Alex Allinson. As the chief minister has indicated, he has been at odds politically with his treasury minister almost since day one of this administration. Why would the chief minister, having made a best part of 30 other changes in the meantime, why would he keep someone in place as Treasury Minister who was so opposed to his political orientation? And I think that really is the big mystery in this. And I can only conclude that the Chief Minister's playing a longer game.
Where does this leave confidence for members of the public?
Part of the rationale for this on behalf of the Chief Minister is to show that this is indeed a listening government and to try and stabilise things and to restore a degree of public confidence. I'm not sure that will work with many people. I mean, people will be relieved. Some people will be relieved about the retreat. But overall, the picture is a pretty shambolic one. This has been the most chaotic government that I can remember. I think the Manx public deserve far better than this dysfunctional shambles that we're seeing at the moment.
I mean, if you look at the new DOI minister, who I think it's his third time in this role under this current government.
Yeah, it's a bit of a pantomime, isn't it, really? This will play well, those ministers who've stepped back in, because they will be the people who are delivering what is perceived as good news. I mean, it's all about positioning for the next general election and in some cases, I think, for next chief ministership.
That is former government press officer and political commentator Alistair Ramsay. If you go to that story on the Manx Radio website, you can find a link to the government response on there as well. Now, students at a school on the Isle of Man say they wouldn't be in favour of banning social media for those under 16s. Yesterday, it was confirmed the UK government is actually considering such a move. Andy Wint spoke to students at King William's College when he was there with Man in Line.
I think it has its benefits and its negatives because I think social media could be something that it should, in theory, be a really good thing. I think it's just the way it's been used and the things people put on it. It's why it's been twisted and not twisted, but made into something quite negative that can be quite dangerous for especially young people who maybe don't have the experience or the maturity to be able to scan through information that they'll get from social media.
What responsibility do parents bear in this then?
I think they do have a big responsibility to make sure that their kids aren't being negatively influenced by social media. However, I think it is really difficult to monitor what your children are seeing on social media.
Children are crafty and find ways around this ban. And I also think it's a big burden on the executive branch of government to have them enforcing no social media because they can't really do anything about it if children find ways around it. So it just means people turn to what is crime. Yeah.
I actually recently just deleted TikTok because it was getting too distracting for me. Before I do my work, I'd sit on like half an hour and the procrastination was just getting out of hand. So I do think it is quite negative and ruins your attention span. I've got a 15-year-old brother and I don't think social media should be taken away from them, but I do think restrictions would be good.
But who monitors your 15-year-old brother on social media?
No one really, but my parents do have rules like you must have a private account, don't go posting our whole lives on social media.
Well, I think maybe a better solution rather than completely banning social media would be placing more restrictions and putting more responsibility on people who are adults putting out content on social media who are feeding the young children this content.
Some really interesting views from students at King William's College. You can listen back to The Man in Line from there on the Manx Radio website, ironically. The Isle of Man's air ambulance service has been kitted out with a brand new device. Now, this has been funded by the Henry Bloom Noble Healthcare Trust, and it's a portable CPR machine which provides consistent chest compressions to free medical professions on board from fatigue and just allow them to focus on other critical care. The Isle of Man Air Ambulance Services medical lead is Dr. Kate Tier. She's been talking to Siobhan.
So the equipment is an automated external compression device. You would use it on a patient who's had a cardiac arrest to do their chest compressions instead of having to do them pushing on their chest manually. The air ambulance service, of the patients that we transfer, about half of those patients are adults with cardiac disease. We have a particular risk group that we take. They're patients who've had a heart attack that day that we're taking out to get stents done at the Liverpool Heart and Chest Hospital. So having this device allows us to treat them during transfer if they were to unfortunately have a cardiac arrest. And it allows us the ability to take those patients that we would otherwise consider to be too high risk to go and get the treatment.
And what does it mean, I suppose, for patient outcomes when you get to the other side and you've been able to have that consistent CPR the whole way without the practitioners, you know, getting tired or anything like that?
Automated compression devices undoubtedly do better chest compressions than people do, particularly when you've got very limited access to the number of people. If we were working in a cardiac arrest team in the hospital, we would have a much larger number of people, and every few minutes the people doing the chest compressions would stop so that they didn't get tired. That's just not an option during transfer. And it's certainly not an option when we're loading and unloading the aircraft. It's not possible to do manual compression. So having a device to do that for us means we can do those transfers.
Great news for the ambulance service. That is Dr. Kate Tier there. So Update Sport is brought to you by The Print Shed. And here's Rob Pritchard.
Fastamai, starting with football and having fallen to a narrow defeat in their opening clash of 2026, 11 days ago, FC Isle of Man faced what looks to be a tough task at West Didsbury and Chorlton in the NWCFL Premier Division tonight. Well, starting the day 21st in the table and 11 points clear of the drop zone, the Ravens will be hosted this evening by an opponent currently sitting inside the promotion playoff places. Along with looking to upset the odds, FC Isle of Man will be hoping to end an unpleasant record, which has seen them lose in all four visits to the Step Places Stadium since their inaugural season in 21-22. West Didsbury and Chorlton, meanwhile, could move up one place and into fourth with a win on home soil tonight. This evening's match will kick off tonight at the Step Places Stadium at 7:45 p.m. In cycling, Manx Pro rider Max Walker was in action earlier today at the 2026 Tour Down Under in Australia. During the first stage proper of the men's race, Walker helped EF Education EasyPost teammate Luke Lamperty go on to claim a top 10 finish. The Manxman himself finished just over 30 seconds behind stage winner Tobias Lund Anderson. Well, tomorrow's second phase will see competitors, which also includes Manx resident Ben Swift of the Ineos Grenadiers team, take on a 148.1-kilometre route from Norwood to Uraidla. And in hockey, two Isle of Man national teams took victories last weekend to progress in the England Hockey Championships competitions. The ladies over 45s and under 16 girls emerged victorious in their respective fixtures as two of three Manx squads in action on Sunday, the 18th of January. In a tense showdown, the Isle of Man under 16 girls were on target through Ashton Fick in a 1-1 draw in normal time against Leek in the under 16 girls tier 2 plate before the Islanders went on to take the win on penalty shuffles. Elsewhere, goals from Donna Harrison, Elaine Wiseman and Joe Quine saw the ladies over 45 secure a 3-1 victory against Deeside Ramblers during the latest phase of the EH Women's Over 45s Vars competition. Meanwhile, it was a different story for the Isle of Man Under 18 girls as they fell to a narrow 3-2 defeat against Timperley in the EH Girls Under 18 Tier 2 Knockout Championship, with the Manx side's goals coming from Fern Brigazzi and Macy Crellin.
Rob, thank you very much indeed. We will have the details of the FC Isle of Man match tomorrow, so everything crossed for them. As you say, it's been a difficult few weeks with them going away there.
I think it has, and obviously back-to-back defeats, failed to score in the last two, and the fact that this match was due to take place last weekend and has been moved. Bit more to think about, I guess. Tough game tonight.
Everything crossed. Thank you very much indeed, Rob. That is all from Update this evening. As ever, you can find out all about tonight's top stories on the Manx Radio website. Coming up next, it's Spotlight. It's brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council and presented by Howard Kane. At 6 p.m, Chris Kinley's here with Greatest Hits. It's Country Roads with Andy Wint from 9. And Dave will be with you with After Hours from 10. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.